I kind of see it as the young person is kind of like a tree, and the fruit is growing. And actually, what camp is like is like an intense shaking of that tree.
Okay.
So actually, the fruit is there; it's kind of waiting to fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
The intensity of the week and the kind of all the teaching and all the time spent on thinking makes the fruit drop.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of national ministries for the FIEC. And today I'm here with Sally Jackman. Hello, Sally.
Hello.
Thanks for coming from Nottingham. Yeah. So not a huge distance, but you've braved the roads and the cold to come and join us. Thanks so much. And we're here to talk about summer camps for kids, for young people, for kids and young people.
Yep.
Now, you've got a connection with summer camps. Just tell us what that is.
Yeah, so I actually work for a summer camp called Contagious. I'm a communications and marketing executive for them.
Oh, that sounds very grand.
Yeah, it's not as grand as it sounds.
Does that mean when I get an email from Contagious,
Yeah, I basically just send emails.
Okay. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about Contagious specifically, maybe towards the end, but we want to talk about camps in general, because it's that time of year, isn't it? We're recording this in December. I guess it'll go up sometime perhaps in the new year when people are beginning to think about, well, generally, you know, what are you going to do in your summer? What are you going to do in your summer, apart from Contagious? Have you got other plans? When do you book your holiday?
I don't have holidays in the summer.
What?
I know. September.
So you're going to Keswick. You're working at Keswick, though. You're singing.
I'm singing at Keswick, yeah.
Okay, and we'll record another podcast about singing. So when you go to Keswick, do you get any chance just to kind of sit? You sit in the sessions, don't you?
Yeah.
You hear good teaching, so it does you good.
Yeah,
so no summer holiday. Yeah. No summer holiday for Sally Jackman.
Not in the summer.
Okay.
I get a summer holiday in September.
Okay, and when do you book that? Are you a late minute booker or are you an early bird booker?
Late minute. I'm a very late minute person.
Some good bargains in September, though.
Yeah, right? True.
Now, you can't really be a late, last minute person when it comes to summer camps. You do have to give it a bit of thought, don't you, in terms of kids and young people. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about camps that are organised either by parachurch organisations, sometimes by churches. Churches just up the road from us. Knight and FIC Church run their own camp called Hungerton. So sometimes it's done by churches, sometimes by groups of churches. But camps for kids and young people, that's what we're talking about. What are they for? What's the purpose of them?
I mean, there is actually a lot of benefits for them. They are, I mean, as these kind of children, young people are kind of growing up, they're exploring their faith a little bit more. They're exploring what it means to be a Christian or kind of what does it mean for them? Do they believe something because their parents or their church told them so? Right. Or do they believe it for themselves?
Yeah.
So as their kind of curiosity increases, they'll start to ask more questions and explore their faith. And they'll do that mostly at church and with their parents.
Sure.
If they go to church.
So that's the primary place for them,
isn't
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's absolutely the foundation for it. What summer camps would do is kind of just build on that build. We're talking about they're coming with things they already believe or questions they have. And actually, it's a really good opportunity for them to ask those questions without kind of, ask questions that they may not feel that they can ask their parents or their churches who know their parents.
So you don't want to express your doubts and uncertainties to your mum and dad, but actually the camp's a safer place to do it and there's an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and there's like an intensity to camps. Like you have a whole week maybe, and they might be shorter, but generally a whole week of just like intense, this is what the Bible says, this is what it means for you, and this is what the worldly lies are, and this is how the Bible kind of speaks into that.
Right.
And being surrounded by other Christians.
Well, let's come back to that in a moment. Just back to the intensity. Why does the intensity make a difference? It might be difficult to put your finger on, but I'm thinking, as a youngster, maybe going on to a church youth group, once a week, with another bunch of young people. What's the difference that a kind of an intense week makes? Do you think, in terms of the way that people take things in?
I think it's less distractions.
Okay.
So it's just you're coming away from your normal life.
You haven't got to worry about homework.
No homework, I'd hope. No homework.
Someone's going to write in and say, my kids don't do homework. Don't write in. Okay, no homework. No distractions. Yeah, that's
no
fair
distractions.
Point. Yeah, no distractions.
And it's just, if you're being surrounded by this teaching, kind of morning, afternoon, night, you're just think it's just space to think about it and really, really process it. and just be constantly kind of taught this stuff and kind of think and go through it. It's not like you kind of go to your food on a Friday, then you come back, you kind of play on your games console, go to bed and hang out with your friends. You know, it's very like, this is what we're thinking about this week. You need to think about it for yourself as well. And there's less distractions for kind of, you know, going off.
Okay. So we're still not going to get to the bit about other Christians. Let's come back to that in just a moment. But actually, just in your kind of outline there, you gave us two good things. Let me just sort of unpick that a little bit. Because the camps work evangelistically, don't they?
Yeah.
In terms of helping people towards faith. Mm. Sometimes a little step towards faith. Sometimes that, you know, it's the moment when people become Christians. But actually, there's an evangelistic thing going on.
Yeah.
But there's also a building thing going on for those who are Christians as well, right? Yeah. So actually, this is the moment when they can get that real boost, get the leg up that they need in terms of their Christian faith. So it's sort of doing these two things at the same time. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got kind of the evangelistic side of it and the kind of discipling young people.
Yeah, sure.
There are people that come that have that foundation of going to church and youth group and having Christian parents, but there are also young people that come to summer camp that have just been invited by their Christian friends and actually don't know anything about Christianity. Like we had a lad come to Contagious who was kind of sitting on the front row and in our 11 to 14s camp. And he had his kind of christening Bible and we kind of went up to him and was like, hi, are you all right? Where are you from? And he's like, oh, well, my school friend brought me. He's like, oh, okay. Are you in church? Oh, no. Okay. What's your sort of family like? Oh, they're not Christians. Okay.
Brilliant. Well,
and I was like, what do you know about Jesus? And he's like, I don't really know anything about Jesus at all. And then later on in the week, we had another conversation with him and we're like, are you all right? How's it going? He's like, oh, I'm absolutely loving it. And we thought that he was like just loving activities and all that kind of thing. But actually, he said, I'm just loving hearing stories about Jesus. And it's just amazing that it's like this non-Christian lad that came is hearing about Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's my story. That's how I became a Christian.
Okay, yeah.
So I'll tell you my story because it does relate to summer camps. Mm. And some people who listen regularly have heard this before. But I didn't grow up in a Christian family or nominally Christian family. And my friend Michael went along to the local Crusader group. I didn't go to Crusaders. And he wanted someone to go with on a summer camp. And so his parents asked my parents. And my parents kind of, I don't know what they thought that was. I think they thought it was some kind of, you know, outward bound activity camp that would sort of knock some stuffing out of me age 12, you know, make me a little bit less energetic over the rest of the summer. So I was sent off to Crusader camp. In All Hallows School, it met in Dorset. And on the, I think the Wednesday or the Thursday of the camp, I became a Christian.
Wow.
From nowhere, like that little kid, really, in many ways. I didn't have my christening Bible with me, but it came from nowhere, really. And it was the same day that Charles and Dinah got married, which is how I remember it. So 29th of July, 1981 was the day of the royal wedding. I think it was in the afternoon. We watched it. Sort of all these boys, it was a boys' camp, all sort of gathered around a little portable TV, which I think was all they had. So we watched the royal wedding in the afternoon. In the evening, I was saved.
Wow.
So that's kind of my story that, you know, it came from nowhere, really, and God used it. I guess those stories are reasonably rare. You know, I think for parents to allow, now, especially nowadays, a child to go to something they don't really know anything about, that seems to me to be fairly unlikely. But we have connections, don't we, in churches with children who are peripheral, maybe.
Yeah.
They come along to a midweek group or something like that. Yeah. So that's a great way to engage them a bit further, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
What's your, you've got a slightly different sort of summer camp story.
I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. So I was kind of more of the, had the foundation.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I'll make a note.
Had the kind of foundations of it. So where we've kind of spoken about someone who would be a non-Christian going, yourself, and then someone who has the foundation and is going to be discipled. That was my experience of Contagious. So I'd go and it would always make me kind of just go forward in my faith and build on my faith. But I'd always just feel like my life was completely transformed, you know.
Every year, honestly,
the teaching
and
you
what
get
was
at camp
that? That was
just,
the intensity, was it?
Or yeah, really? It's just, I think it's one of those, you're just surrounded by Christians, we can go back to that, and it's kind of a bit of a taste of heaven. And you're learning all this amazing stuff about God and partnering with others. And then you go away just feeling really, like, I don't know, refreshed, revitalized. And It's just a chance to really refresh your faith, I guess. But to be honest, I became a Christian at Word Alive.
Right.
In the youth tent.
Yep. You're making me feel very old. Because I remember before Contagious existed, before Word Alive existed. But I'm very happy, Sally. I'm very happy.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, like going away and just thinking about the gospel, what that means for you is beautiful.
Yeah. It's really and actually, the kids tracks at things like Keswick or Word Alive work in the same way,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah,
actually,
they do.
Really important for yeah. formation, for evangelizing and formation of, yeah. of young people.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think I know my church background is slightly different from yours. I've generally been in smaller churches or churches with much smaller youth groups as yeah. my kids have been growing
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
They've often been, you know, I've got three daughters, they've often been the only person their age or in their school year, and sometimes the only person within 2 years in the church. And that's quite a lonely place to be, especially if you're professing faith.
Yeah,
I think it's hard to be a Christian at school. It's hard to be a Christian if you're a young person today. You know, I think it's always been odd. I you know, people thought I was odd when I was a Christian at school, but I think it's true. They used to call me Christian AIDS.
Oh no,
it wasn't very attractive, was it? This is the 80s. Anyway, I've lost my train of thought now. Yes, I think it's hard to be a Christian, to be a young person in any context. And actually, if you're growing up in a church where, let's say you're a 16-year-old girl and the only other Christian in the church is a 14-year-old boy, that's not that uncommon.
Yeah, no.
And actually, there's a real loneliness about that. And whether it's a Word Alive track or a Keswick track or summer camps, they serve a real purpose, don't they? And actually, telling kids, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And there are other people like you who think the same way that you do and believe the same things you do and exploring the same things you do. There's a real strength in that, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, I've made lifelong friends at camps. Like, you really grow deep relationships with people. And it's that intensity again, because you're not kind of seeing someone then waiting another week to see them. You're with them all the time.
Sure.
And you're growing in that in that relationship, friendship, and you're learning together. You know, you're getting
this teaching
together.
Discover whether they snore or not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's people carry on that community. It's not like they come to camp, make loads of Christian friends their own age, and then, you know, just pause that until the next camp.
Right.
That, you know, they often keep that friendship going and kind of join a WhatsApp group together or visit each other.
So we had a young lass who went to Contagious, one of the Contagiouses. Is that a plural, Contagiouses?
Yeah.
Contagi. Anyway, we had a young lass at church who went to one of the Contagious camps for the first time last summer. And then within about 6 weeks, she was offered a reunion somewhere, weekend with other people, really enjoying seeing other Christians.
Yeah.
And there's a real sort of building of Christian
really
friendship
is.
There. And friendship's so important, isn't it, in discipleship?
Yeah. Oh, well, 100%.
But actually helping children find peers who are also believers is really important.
Yeah,
important.
Yeah, very much. I mean, that's why church is important as well, isn't it?
Indeed,
for all
of
us. It's the, we're in a church family. We're in this kind of ship together, and we're going to build each other up, spur each other on until we get home. You know, it is that kind of, actually, how do we create that kind of thing for young people where they can have that community with their brothers and sisters in Christ, their own age, as well as other ages, because it's important to do that. But
now, Sally, it's important to see, isn't it, how this fits with normal church life?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, there must be some statistics somewhere. I've never seen them, but I'm sure there are, that actually a lot of church children are converted on camps in the summer. And I always feel sorry for, you know, for the Sunday school teacher who slaves, you know, slaves away week in, week out, teaching the kids. And sometimes, you know, it's really frustrating, don't seem to get anywhere. And then the child goes off on camp and comes back and says, oh, I've been converted.
Yeah.
Feels a bit like, I'll put all that work in.
Yeah.
But actually, it's important to say that's all, you know, that's all part of the same deal. It's all part of the partnership, isn't it? And laying the groundwork.
Yeah,
and actually,
absolutely.
If that groundwork hadn't been done by that wonderful and faithful Sunday school teacher, in fact, probably they wouldn't, humanly speaking, have been the fruit at the camp.
Yeah.
So it's important to see how it all fits together, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've used this illustration before, but I kind of see it as the young person is kind of like a tree, and their fruit is growing. And actually what camp is like is like an intense shaking of that tree.
Okay.
So actually the fruit is there. It's kind of waiting to fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
The intensity of the week and the kind of all the teaching and all the time spent on thinking, makes the fall, makes the fruit drop. It's kind of like penny drops.
You have to be careful to say fall. That's probably not the
no,
right word.
No, maybe not.
We know what you mean.
Yeah, it's kind of actually that intensity might enable that to happen, but the fruit was kind of already there. The foundation's been set. We're all working towards the same goal.
Yeah, that's right. And I think also just in the Christian life generally, we have to learn to rejoice in any good thing that the Lord is doing whenever it happens. I remember a slightly different story, but there is a connection, I promise. the guy that mentored me when I was first a pastor had three daughters, like I've got three daughters, and said to me they were all converted at university.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, you could feel very bitter about that. You know, think of all the effort we put in at home and at church, and they all went away and converted in churches where they went away. But actually he said, you just rejoice. Rejoice at what the Lord is doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether he's doing it in a Word of Life kids track or whether he's doing it in a Sunday school lesson at home, actually. Or, you know, indeed, a home with parents. Rejoice in everything the Lord is doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think also we need to remember, especially with church kids, don't we, that every conversion story is a miracle of grace. And I think sometimes when kids have grown up in Christian homes like you have, perhaps it's not quite so dramatic as me going away to a camp. We tend to forget that. But actually every conversion story is an extraordinary miracle,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've got to keep rejoicing in that.
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, really, it happens as well at, you know, at camp, where you're investing loads of time in a young person and you're having loads of conversations and answering all of their questions. And maybe at the end of the camp, they might be like, oh, well, I'm still not ready to commit yet. And that's hard as well, but because, you know, then you're just sending them off. But that is also part of how churches and camps kind of work together. Because if we're sending them off again, if they're going to church, we know that we're sending them back to a place where they can continue those conversations and continue exploring. It's very much a partnership between kind of the local church and the wider camps. And that's really important. You know, there's ways that churches can prepare young people, and there's ways that they can support them after that kind of ongoing discipleship as well. Because a young person, even if they become a Christian at a camp, they still have a lot of work and a lot of journeying to do in discipleship, and what kind of being a Christian means for them in their everyday life. It's quite easy, really, to become a Christian on a camp with loads of other Christians, where there's lots of teaching. But then when you go back to the real world that is, churches are so important with that and the continued discipleship. So it's not like the work even stops if they become a Christian on camp as well.
We had one of the young guys in our church was baptized weekend before last. Oh, well, we have four baptisms actually of young people, which was thrilling for the church actually, because we saw all the investment over the years that been put into these people. It's kind of, you feel it's all worth it. But one of the young lads was converted on a camp this summer. And had a delightful little testimony. And he said, I came back to school in September having been converted, told all my mates.
Wow.
And they just all said I was weird. And he was very honest. He said, it's been really tough.
Yeah.
And we were in tears listening to him sort of give his testimony. He said, it's been really tough. But he said, I'm not giving up.
No, that's amazing.
And actually, what was noticeable, it was the combination, I think, of growing up in a Christian home for him, having come along regularly to church stuff, and then this kind of this bit of intensity, it's actually at Hungerton, which is the camp up the road that Knighton run. It was just this sort of burst of intensity that actually really made a difference to him. And so actually it was joy to baptize him. And to hear that testimony actually, and a reality about it, which is actually you come back home, it's not easy. And you may often only be the only Christian in your class, and even in your year, some places, you know, it's a lonely existence. Now, what about age? Let's talk about age.
Yep.
You're going to have to help me understand what age contagious runs from.
Okay, yeah.
That's just a kind of bit of information, really.
Yep.
So let me ask you that question first. What age does contagious run from?
So we have three age groups.
Right.
And the first is called contagious adventure, and that's for 8 to 11-year-olds.
8 to 11. So you have to be 8 to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that feels young. Let's come back to that. Okay, so 8 to 11s.
Yeah. Contagious Go is our 11 to 14-year-olds.
Okay, glad there wasn't a gap there, so everyone's covered, right?
Well, the point of that is actually if you're 11, you can actually choose whether to stay in adventure or move up, because it's kind of, you might have friends in different age groups or whatever.
Got it.
And it's the same with, so it's 11 to 14s in Go, and then Max, which is our oldest group, is our 14 to 19-year-olds. So again, if you're 14, you can decide whether to stay and go or move up to Max.
Fantastic. Anything for 53-year-olds?
Leader, B team.
Okay, leave
we
it.
Need to.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, you know, eight feels young.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, all children are different, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the way children develop are different. Is there an age where you think, I don't know if people run camps for children younger than that, but it's quite a big thing, isn't it? Going away from home.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, being homesick and... Yep. You know, even when you're with friends.
Yeah.
I remember sending our kids off on, you know, school trips.
Yeah.
At that sort of age. Tough.
Yeah.
Tough gig for parents. It's a tough gig for the children as well.
Yeah.
So I guess that does feel very young. Any sort of wisdom
and
on that?
It's a week as well.
Yeah.
It's not just
okay.
even a weekend that you're sending your eight-year-old off to. It's like the whole week.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Very daunting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's part of me as a parent that thinks that'll just be idyllic, a week without the kids.
Go on
and
holiday.
And then there's part of me thinking, you know, it's date night every night. And
yeah.
then there's part of me thinking, are they going to be all right?
Yeah,
it does feel young. So yeah. just tell us a bit about that. How does it work if you're very young?
I mean, it is daunting. I think maybe actually parents might feel more nervous about it than the actual kids are.
Okay. I mean, every child is different, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, absolutely.
Yes,
But we, you know, we want to support that kind of process. And they're very supported on the camp at Adventure. But actually running up to that, last year we did a Zoom meeting with parents and children, with all of them, before they went.
As a parent, it's not like me, not that I've ever done this, so I'm kind of imagining what it might be like, but it's not like me sending my child off to boarding school aged eight and say, there you go, off you go and stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah.
It's
no.
much, a bit more supportive than that.
Oh, absolutely.
And by the way, don't write in again. I'm sure boarding school isn't like that, but that's kind of my imagination. That's how it appears.
No, they come along, they're put in a little small group, which they'll kind of be doing like basically everything with.
Yeah, okay.
And they'll be given two leaders that will look after them. And they're very much supported, cared for. I mean, last year not one child from Adventure was sent home because they weren't coping or they were homesick.
Okay.
There were moments where they were homesick, so we helped them.
Well, I get homesick. I'm not surprised about that. I get homesick.
Yeah. Oh, so do I.
Yeah. I like my own bed.
Yeah. Absolutely. But we also were able to send parents emails every day, kind of explaining what we're doing, how everyone is doing, and then some pictures, and they might be able to see their child on there as well.
Okay.
Like it went really well, but next year we're also going to add in kind of different roles within Adventure, so kind of a house parent role,
okay,
where they kind of look after the kids at kind of bedtime and morning as well. You know, actually, what does it mean?
So children are going to be cared for,
and parents
know their children, don't they?
Yeah.
So parents are going to be able to say, you know, little Bob, is going to be able to cope with this or not.
Yeah, absolutely. We have that's the same for Adventure Go and Max, all of our age groups. We have lots of parents kind of writing into us and emailing us and saying, look, my child is really struggling with this. How can you support them? And we're able to partner with them actually, kind of say, well, how do you think we should support them? And what does that look like? And then like I said, and it's not just Adventure, across the board, Adventure Go and Max, we had over 1,000 people come to Contagious last year, and not one was sent home because they couldn't cope because of anxiety or homesickness or any of that kind of thing, which was amazing. But that was with the work of actually partnering with parents and seeing how we can best support their
child. And that's the way to think about it as church. I guess mostly church leaders are going to be listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
That's the way to think about it as a church leader, isn't it? I'm a church leader. So actually I'm thinking, how do I serve families in the church? And actually one of the ways I can serve them is by saying to parents, well, here's something you can think about. You can think about sending your kids along to a Contagious or a Hungerton or a SU camp, whatever it is. Here's something you could think about doing.
Yeah.
What sort of, I realise you've got a vested interest here with the Contagious.
I'm a bit biased.
What sort of due diligence should I be doing as a leader or parents be doing? Because there are lots of camps you can go to, and I guess they'll be mixed.
Yeah.
Some will be better than others.
Mm.
Is the due diligence to be done, do you think, in terms of just sort of, you know, checking out what things are and seeing what's around?
Do the research. I think also just like see what the friends are going to in church.
Okay, so is there actually value in everyone in church going to the same thing?
I would say, I mean, churches do it differently, don't they?
Yeah.
Like there's, yeah. I know a church that literally just send all their children to Contagious, which has benefit because that's kind of building community within that youth group as well.
And some familiar
and
faces
and leaders
there,
as well going with them. Okay. So it's, so that discipleship.
So it's a whole church thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've got young people and leaders coming from a church, which is really quality because it means that they're kind of a shared history there.
Sure.
And the leaders that go to Contagious and support them there can then continue that discipleship very easily within their church context. Yeah. But I also have, within my own church, there are lots of different camps that people go to.
So they might have historic links or they've moved to the area. The kids have gone to another camp from a different church.
Which is okay too. Like, you know, there's lots of different ways that people do it. I would say that to build your kind of bond as a youth group, it might be better to go to the same one.
So if you've got, I mean, let's say, for example, you've got just two or three kids.
Oh, yeah.
In church who are 14 and that's it. For them to go to three different camps.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
A bit of a shame.
Yeah, yeah.
And hard on them.
Yeah,
I would say. Even if they don't get on, in fact, just to see a familiar face across, you know, the dining room.
Yeah.
That's quite nice.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, again, kind of contributing to that ongoing stuff as well.
So good for us as church leaders right now at this time of year to encourage parents to think about, you know, what would be a real help to your kids in terms of growing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about cost.
Yeah.
We need to be honest about that. You know, the camps are not cheap.
No.
And it's a difficult time. It's a difficult time for people anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
So as a church leader, I ought to be thinking about that as well, shouldn't I?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, this isn't something that just parents are doing. It's not it's not just, you know, an extra holiday for the kids, is it?
It's
part of the church's ministry to families and to young people.
Yeah.
So what should I be thinking about as a leader? Perhaps subsidising if it's needed or
sorts
of things?
It's kind of up to the church leader to kind of think about, but it could be that there are individuals in your church that don't have as much money as others, and you support those individuals.
Or have got large families. You know, you've got four kids, let's say, at an age to go to camp.
Yeah.
Wow, that could be
a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of quadruple digits.
Yeah.
A lot of money. But it, you know, look into how you can support the individuals. I think you kind of have to take every case as an individual case.
But why wouldn't you support that as a church leader? You know,
I know.
Why wouldn't you support evangelizing and building Christians?
I mean, I recently heard someone say, which is just great. They said everyone has to be involved in a children or youth camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether that be going as team or a young person, or supporting them financially or spiritually, because it is so beneficial for young people. It's beneficial for team. Like, I go to Contagious and my life is still changed every year.
So that's something else we can do as church leaders, is encourage people in church to think about serving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And some employers might be very open to that. Interestingly, this is some time ago now, but I worked for an employer before I was a pastor who gave people time off to go and do things like this, even if it was Christian work.
Mm.
So it is interesting that sometimes, especially in summer when things are much quieter, even secular employers can actually be open to saying, we're happy to support, you know, or we'll give you 2.5 days off. You take 2.5 days holiday, whatever, to go and serve on a camp.
Yeah.
So actually as leaders in churches, we should be encouraging people in church to think about serving, shouldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And being on team is so beneficial. And if the kind of person that is wanting to come as a leader is on a kind of youth or children's team, it's actually massively beneficial for their training in how to handle the Bible and how to teach young people. Yeah. You know, I do youth work at my church. I learned most about what it means to teach the Bible, what it means to partner with young people from being on team at Contagious and seeing actually kind of more mature, wiser Christians, how they do it and learning from them, and then, you know, doing it myself and learning from that way. So it's really good actually just in the training and discipleship of your leaders as well as your, you know, as your young people.
And actually, if you're a leader and you are teaching in a small group, And it can feel a bit demoralising and disheartening week after week, just with three kids around the table. Actually, to go somewhere for you as a leader where there's a lot more is also heartening, isn't it?
Yeah. Really heartening. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Last summer, I went to three different contagious camps, which was insane.
It is your job. It is your job.
It is my job.
We're not saying that's a pat.
No. Absolutely not. Yeah, it is my job. It was knackering, but the kind of... I just felt so like refreshed.
Yeah,
and
see with the Lord at work.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We're almost done. So just one one little conversation about contagious, which we have talked about obviously because that's your experience and also your job. And just tell us just a little bit of the history of contagious, because contagious kind of is rooted in FIC churches, isn't it?
Yeah.
In terms of how it started, just tell us how it started and perhaps how it's a little bit different from other camps.
Yeah. So contagious started in the year 2000. With just a small bunch of leaders, and I think about 30 young people.
Right.
And it's just built from there. So that was one camp, and now we have 11 different conferences that happen over the summer.
And spread around as
well. And spread around the country, different age groups. So that was just 14 to 19-year-olds, actually, in 2000. Right. And we've added Go, and we've added Adventure. Okay. So we're planting, and we're adding age groups. It's just, it's amazing to see the growth of it and the passion that people have for kind of coming back and learning about Jesus. Like, I want to come, and I want to grow my faith and learn about Jesus. And that's kind of the growth that has happened. And we're looking at planting more as well. So we're always kind of growing.
Right.
And interestingly, actually, sometimes we have pastors from churches send their child to contagious, but then not necessarily promote it to the other children in their youth group, which is interesting. I wonder why. I'm not going to name names, don't worry. But yeah, like contagious is, it's just growing. And I would say it's not actually like too different from other camps. If a camp is teaching the Bible and being intentional about the discipleship of young people, that's great. What contagious takes really seriously is that discipleship and that kind of, we're going to basically flood you with all of this truth. You know, we have small group time, we have seminars in the morning, we have kind of talks in the evening, we do one-to-ones with the young people. We're just, it's a very intentional, even the activities and stuff, we're choosing activities that build relationship with one another and build relationship with the leaders so that they can feel like they can have those conversations. Okay. Everything about it is intentional about, we want you to be a disciple of Christ. We want you to come to know Christ maybe for the first time, but also if you're already a Christian, let's talk about how you can live for Jesus.
I think, Sally, what I really value about contagious is that I think that the Christian evangelical world is reasonably broad.
Yeah.
And the camps that are put on are quite broad.
Mm.
And I think one of the great things about contagious is it's trustworthy.
Mm.
For an FIC leader, I think contagious could be trusted.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not to say that other groups can't be trusted, but you have to do a lot more digging around and research really to find out what works and what doesn't. And, you know, you want to know what your kids are being taught. You want to make sure that they're being taught things that you believe as a church. That's really important, actually.
It's
part of contending for the faith is to make sure, actually, that you're not sending your kids to things that are going to be a little bit left field. And I think also, actually, just to say, that's the great value of the kids track at Word Alive.
Yeah,
I think that's a great value of the kids work that gets done at Keswick. That these things are trustworthy, and therefore you can, if you like, send your kids along with great confidence. Actually, they're going to be taught the gospel and the gospel as you understand it, not just a version.
Yeah,
of it.
We have a group of teaching leaders who are basically church leaders from the FIEC that come together and they put the teaching material together. They spend a lot of time kind of crafting it and putting it together and thinking about it. They've already met about three times and really putting together this material for next year. We're doing John, which is very exciting.
So you're thinking about it. Church leaders should be thinking about it. We're out of time, I think. I forgot to start my stopwatch until about a few minutes in. So we're well over time. Who'd have thought it? Sally, thanks very much for joining us.
That's
this has been Independence. Thanks for being with us. If you like us, do rate us on your podcast provider. That helps, apparently. And we look forward to connecting with you soon.